Welcome to the Israel Daily News Podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Fold, and I'm here to get you caught up quickly. I've got some top news stories for you today from Israel, and guess what? You're listening, so you're already on top of your game. Survive and thrive, people. Knowledge is the best weapon. Today is Monday, March 30th, 2026. In the Gregorian calendar, and the 11th of Nisan, 5786, in the Hebrew calendar. Now, let's get to the news. The Knesset passed the 2026 state budget in the early hours of Monday morning, and it is the largest budget known to modern Israel. Its success has also allowed Israel to avoid a government collapse and early elections, which would have been triggered if it failed to pass before Tuesday, which is the legally mandated deadline. That's tomorrow. Lawmakers voted 62-55 in favor of the bill. The 2026 state budget is the largest in Israeli history, with 850 billion shekels, the equivalent of 271 billion U.S. dollars, with the defense ministry's budget being a part of that, totaling 142 billion shekels, or 45.3 billion USD. The vote followed more than 14 hours of opposition statements and multiple interruptions due to sirens warning of Iranian ballistic missiles coming in, causing repeat pauses. But hallelujah, a budget has indeed been passed. It's an issue each time it comes up. And I know that because I'm always reporting on it in the news. Interceptor debris struck the Bazan oil refinery's complex in Haifa Bay in the center of Israel, hitting a fuel tanker parked on the site and a nearby industrial building. Fire crews from the Haifa Coastal District alongside the Homefront Command rescue battalions and the city's emergency teams all worked to contain the enormous blaze and prevent it from spreading. Thick black smoke was seen rising from the roof of the building. Searches for trapped individuals are still underway, but no casualties have been reported. Israel's Environmental Protection Ministry says a hazardous materials event has been ruled out. The ministry has dispatched teams to the site to monitor air quality, and the fire has been brought under control. A 19-year-old identified as Sergeant Liran Ben-Sion was killed during the overnight hours of Sunday and Monday by anti-tank missile fire in southern Lebanon. Ben-Sion served as a tank crewman in the 9th Battalion of the 401st Armored Brigade. An armored officer was also seriously injured. In additional incidents that were reported before this, 3 IDF soldiers were seriously wounded and 3 more were moderately wounded in separate attacks in southern Lebanon prior to the unfortunate death of the sergeant. All of them were evacuated to nearby hospitals for treatment. According to soldiers in the field, alerts for incoming fire often provide only seconds to react, sometimes as little as 0 to 5 seconds, and troops either have to take cover in armored vehicles or seek shelter behind any nearby structure. Despite statements made by Prime Minister Netanyahu about expanding the security zone, the military has said the ongoing operations are not intended to establish a set buffer zone, but to create a security area deeper inside Lebanon to reduce attacks on northern Israel. The Israel Daily News sends our heartfelt condolences to the family, friends, comrades, and community of Sergeant Liran Ben-Sion. I always mention everybody because it really does take a village just to raise one person. And so when one person comes up, and that one person comes down, there are so many people who are affected, and we here at the Israel Daily News are very aware of that. On Sunday morning, the Israel Defense Forces announced that a soldier was killed in a Hezbollah rocket attack on troops in southern Lebanon between Friday and Saturday. The soldier has been identified as Sergeant Moshe Yitzchak Katz. He was 22 years old of the 890th Battalion of the Paratroopers Brigade. He was originally from New Haven, Connecticut, and a member of the Chabad community in New Haven. He came to Israel on his own to serve in the IDF as a lone soldier, following his sister's footsteps. His parents, Mendy and Devorah, were visiting him earlier in the month, but managed to make it back to the U.S. after the war with Iran broke out. Katz was supposed to spend the Passover holiday with his parents, but chose to stay in Israel to fight alongside his unit. Three other soldiers were moderately wounded in the same strike that killed Katz and were taken to hospitals for treatment. Another 20 soldiers were wounded in a separate attack between Friday and Saturday, including a lieutenant colonel from the elite Yahalom Combat Engineering Unit. The Israel Daily News sends our deepest condolences to Katz's family, friends, and community, as well as a speedy recovery to the injured soldiers. I had the honor of hosting the Jerusalem Post Women Leaders Summit 2026, bringing together some of the most influential women shaping Israel's future across business, innovation, and public leadership. I also sat down for a candid onstage interview with First Lady Michal Herzog, where she spoke about women using their voice and the declining representation in Israeli parliament and national government. And she made an urgent address about trauma and sexual violence during this conflict. And she's calling on women to rise up and take bigger leadership positions. In a private phone call between the two of us, she talked to me about how there's not an issue of representation for women in local leadership, but she's seen a drop in women taking on national positions. My favorite thing that she said during our interview on the stage at the Women's Summit was that because the previous president, Ruvi Rivlin's wife, had passed away, there was no prior first lady, and she had to create a space for herself within her role. And she talked to us about that, which I appreciated. And I hope that everyone listening that day and everyone listening right now thinks about what role they have and how they have to create roles for themselves, because there's nobody like you. There's nobody like me. There's nobody like First Lady Michal Herzog. And we all have to do that on a day-to-day basis. She was very inspiring, and it was quite an honor to host what I understand to be the only non-war related event that has happened since February 28th, and I think it was really necessary. We did have one missile alert during the four-hour conference, and everyone came out of the safe room safely and maybe even with a new connection, since we all had to go into tight quarters at the event space. So you can see more about that on my personal Instagram at Shanna Fold. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. Spain has closed its airspace to U.S. planes involved in the war with Iran. This forces U.S. military aircraft to bypass Spain when flying to targets in the Middle East, though it apparently does not apply in emergency situations. The decision is a step further than Spain's initial decision to deny the U.S. the use of jointly operated military bases. This decision angered U.S. President Donald Trump, who threatened to cut trade ties with Spain as a result. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez has been one of the most vocal European opponents of U.S. and Israeli strikes on Iran, calling them reckless and illegal. U.S. President Trump noted that the U.S. would remember this in the future. According to new analysis, U.S. Vice President Vance is focused on securing a rapid ceasefire to protect his political future and appeal to his America First base, which strongly opposes prolonged foreign conflicts. Behind the scenes, he has reportedly pushed to limit U.S. involvement from the start and is now leading negotiations with Iran, even after clashing with Israeli leadership, particularly Prime Minister Netanyahu, over expectations for the war. Vance has long expressed skepticism toward U.S. alliances, viewing them as burdens on American resources. His priority now appears to be delivering a deal quickly, regardless of its terms, in order to present himself as the leader who ended the war. A CNN news crew was detained for roughly 2 hours in the West Bank, or Judea and Samaria, depending on how you call it, with one of their journalists allegedly placed in a chokehold by Israeli soldiers, an incident now drawing serious scrutiny around the world as well as inside Israel. The crew, led by Jeremy Diamond, was reporting near the Palestinian village of Tayasir when troops approached and pointed weapons. By the way, Jeremy Diamond, the CNN foreign correspondent, was the one on the scene when my apartment got blown up in June. And he was the first one out there when I walked out of my building. And I did give him an interview. He's a colleague in the industry, well-known. According to CNN's footage, soldiers approached the team with weapons, prevented them from filming, and held them on site for questioning. During the incident, one soldier is seen opening the car door where Jeremy Diamond was sitting, while another soldier allegedly put a cameraman in a chokehold and ruined or did something to the camera. The alleged assault is now under investigation by the IDF. In a recorded video, a soldier told the crew, quote, "At the end of the day, if the state doesn't address what they did, those who murdered the settler, what do you expect us to do?" End quotations. He also said the soldiers were acting out of revenge and claimed the entire West Bank belongs to Jews. This is in reference to 18-year-old Yehuda Sherman, who is suspected to have died in a car ramming attack near Nablus earlier this month, though it's under investigation still. That event triggered a fresh wave of settler violence, which has been problematic. And from my own references and from reading Haaretz, I can tell you that Palestinians report Israeli soldiers in their areas or sometimes local recruits that don't have the full 7-month combat training the way that most of the army does, essentially saying that some of the soldiers, specifically in sleepier, more relaxed areas of the West Bank, are glorified local volunteers that have a month and a half of service. That being said, this unit, the Netzah Israel, are Orthodox soldiers who have gone through all the training, fully fledged soldiers. I called up a friend who serves in reserve duty in this area, and he says sometimes foreign press come into unsafe zones and threaten the IDF or make it hard for them to do their job. He described some of the foreign media as rebel rousers, and that while it doesn't look good to the outside world, sometimes the IDF moves with force and authority. Now, during the incident from Thursday, near the site of this illegal settler outpost, the reporters were actually in Area A, which is supposedly under full civilian and security control of the Palestinian Authority. But my sources tell me that if there's a need for the IDF, they go wherever they need to go, whether it's Zone A, B, or C, if there is a security threat. Well, IDF Chief of Staff Eyal Zamir called the incident a grave ethical violation, announcing that one reservist is expected to be dismissed and the entire battalion has been pulled from operational duty. The military says the remarks and conduct do not reflect IDF values, and they also dispute parts of CNN's account, stating that the journalists were stopped for security checks and then later released. Well, CNN says they were detained for 2 hours with other Palestinians and that they had to sit through 2 hours of listening to settler ideology. Before we finish today's show, I want to leave us off with some exciting Israel Daily News updates. Our channels and followings are growing rapidly and increasing every day overnight. Our TikTok page has more than 8,500 followers. Israel Daily News page, 59,500. And I've hit a personal goal this week. My personal Instagram officially hit over 10,000 followers. Our YouTube has doubled. It has 677 followers, which for YouTube is actually a big deal to achieve. Follow us on social media at israeldaily.news. We upload all the latest footage from the ground here in Israel. And of course, my personal page is available to you at Shanna Fold. My name has two N's in it, and I'm very sensitive about that. If you celebrated Palm Sunday yesterday, the Israel Daily News sends our warmest wishes for the start of your holiday season. Here in Israel, you can feel the Passover cleaning begin and the classic responses from people in the workplace. Let's deal with this after Passover. Oh, I hate that. I'm such a mover and a shaker. I hate it when we get down to the holiday times. I've got something going on. I've got my business pitch. I'm trying to work on something, trying to write something. And I hear the responses back, let's revisit this after Passover. Well, we're in the season, and we do have some positive news to end with, especially for the Christian community. The Israel police and the Latin Patriarch have come to an agreement, or at least they came to one yesterday, and that was to allow limited prayer at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre so that they could celebrate Palm Sunday, which commemorates the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem being cheered and greeted with palm leaves, as stated in the New Testament. Due to security concerns, there were problems with how to go about prayer at this time. Earlier in the day on Sunday, Cardinal Pizzaballa, the most senior Catholic official in Israel, and Father Francesco Lelpo, custos, or custodians in English, of the Holy Land, were blocked from entering the site as a security measure amid the ongoing war with Iran. And this comes on the heels of missile fragments falling into the Old City just a week ago, including near the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Since the start of the U.S.-Israel-Iran war on February 28th, Israeli authorities have barred access to the Old City for everyone except residents and shop owners due to security reasons. After widespread outrage, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, who originally defended his stance on his refusal, reversed course and ordered Pizzaballa to be granted full and immediate access to the holy site. U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee, Italian Prime Minister Meloni, and French President Macron all worked on this together. They put some pressure on the Prime Minister. Huckabee said the decision was difficult to understand or justify. Netanyahu's office initially said the decision was made out of special concern for safety. Well, it seems that the cardinal and custodians did make it in and were able to conduct their services. If you're a Christian thinking about coming to the Holy Land, I highly recommend it, and also recommend getting down to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the Old City when the time is right. We here at the Israel Daily News are hopeful about this holiday season, and we send our blessings to all those celebrating this season. We hope some green pastures are on the horizon. And if that sounds like a springtime metaphor, you'd be right. I am off to host my model Seder with Rabbi Jonathan Feldman. I run a community of young internationals in their 20s and 30s who have made Israel their home, and we are doing an imitation Passover Seder tonight, and for each of the four glasses of wine you're meant to drink, we are serving a pairing of chocolate. The nonprofit is called Tribe Tel Aviv, and I am the Director of Community Engagement. Feel free to get in touch if you're in your 20s and 30s and have the honor of being in the Holy Land this year for Passover. And if you're looking for a community, or if you're looking for a Seder for Wednesday night, you can be in touch with me at info@israeldailynews.org. And I hope to see you at our events. All right. Well, that is it for today's show. Today is Monday, March 30th, 2025. Tel Aviv has a low of 14 degrees Celsius and a high of 18 degrees. That's 58 degrees Fahrenheit for the low, going up to 64 degrees for the high. We are everywhere. Don't forget to sign up to our Israel Weekly News Wrap. The Israel Weekly News Wrap is a newsletter with the top five stories coming out of Israel from throughout the week. And of course, with a personal note from me at the top, you can sign up for that at israeldailynews.org. Scroll down to the bottom and drop your email address in. Have a great and productive day and an excellent week. Shavua Tov, everyone. Happy holidays. Chag Sameach.